I really have this expectation that God wants to, in us and through us this year, He wants to do a multiplication. He wants to multiply things in our lives for His name's sake, for His glory. And we are on this journey where God is talking to us about multiply. What does that mean? And last week I spoke about getting our mindset right for multiplication, to multiply in every area of our lives, and how God is going to do that, and how our minds play such an important role. This morning, I'm going to be sort of expanding and giving us a few sort of passages in Scripture where there is this ripple effect that I found. And I'm sure, does everyone understand what a ripple effect is? When you drop, the best example I can think of is when you drop a pebble into a pond and you see those waves go outwards, and the effect of that. And I have such a sense that even this morning, God wants to come and start and deposit something of His ripple effect, even in our hearts, in our lives, to see that from that place, multiplication will happen. And it's not from anything of ourselves, but when we understand the deposit of what God has done for us and to us and through us, there's this ripple effect that goes out. I don't know if you can remember, I remember this when I sort of became, I was a Christian, and then at university, I really became a Christian because I had an encounter with His presence. I grew up in a Christian home and all these things, but then I had an encounter with God and His Spirit, and I knew. Did anyone have something like that in their lives? Because something happens there, that there's a pebble moment where there's a ripple effect, and it changes everything. Amen? It changes everything, and it changes the people around you. It changes the relationships around you. It changes you that you can never be the same again. And I am so excited that I believe God wants to do something like that and have an effect in new people, new believers' lives, but also God's going to remind us and show us the ripple effect that He wants to have even in our lives and as a church even as we go forward. So I want to read a few passages for us this morning. And Last week, this just to set our tone again and to create the platform for what we're going to be talking about, we need to get our minds right. So in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth." And in our small groups this past week, I asked that question. Maybe you were there, or maybe you couldn't make it, but I posted it on the church group as well. What are these things? What are these things that we need to set our minds on, which are above and not of this earth? And in our group, we had a few really interesting discussions and talking about it, but it really came down to a few things. The things of God and His way, and His eternal way. When we set our minds on Him and His kingdom and His word and His eternal perspective, then everything around us changes. The way we see things changes. The way we relate to things changes, because there's a ripple effect. And I'm going to explain that to us now, that there's something that changes. And this word ripple effect, maybe to give you a bit of a definition, and we're going to watch a small video in a moment, but it's the continuous spreading result of an event or action, and it increases in magnitude and effect. Right? So when that stone or that pebble or that incident, that action happens, there's a ripple effect that is continually increasing in result and magnitude and effect. Okay, so that I want you to think about that even for yourselves, even for us as a church, that if there was something to happen, and maybe I can ask this question, you know, if we had to think about history even, right? What in history are some ripple effect moments? What are things that have happened in history that changed things? Can you think of anything? Does anyone have a hand? Anyone give me an example? We can do, come on, shout out. You can pop up your hand. What? Come on, think of an event that happened in history, that Hitler, okay, the Holocaust, that had a ripple effect throughout history. Come on, something else. Any history teachers here? The Twin Towers, that had a ripple effect on the way people think about even a certain group of people. Even to this day, there's an effect, yes? COVID. Come on, guys. I was like, you're wearing it around your mouth. It's had a ripple effect on us as people, on the way we think, and how the church even thinks and relates going forward. A lot of you are very good at your more newer history, but probably the greatest ripple effect of all time is Jesus. The coming of Jesus. He was the ultimate pebble that was dropped into the pond because he changed everything. So much so that history, the name of history, is his story. He's still being told. His story is being told. Throughout our time, we have to understand the greatest thing and event in our lifetime, other than the creation of the earth, which God, Jesus, had part to play in, is Jesus coming. That there has been a ripple effect, and to this day, we are sitting here because of what happened 2,000+ years ago, that something has changed in us because of that ripple effect. That should get you excited. You should understand the power and the dynamic of God's ripple. When he institutes a ripple in a pond, it affects history forever. And I'm so excited to see how that affects us, our way of thinking, and how he wants to show us, even as individuals, and as the church collectively, and as our local church, that he wants to create a ripple. He wants to create a ripple effect through us that influences everyone around us. That people, when they come into contact with us, are rubbed off by the ripple of what God is doing in and through us and through his Spirit. It's not something that we manufacture. I'll show you now, but it's so important that we see this. So I want to share a few passages with us, but can we watch that video if we're ready? Just to expand on this concept of a small thing becoming so great. I think we need the sound man here. 1 second. Oh wait, there he's coming. Let's watch it. Okay, thank you. We're not promoting Coronation, but I'm not affiliated in any way. But I remember watching this ad long ago. I was like, I need to find this ad because this expands on some of the idea that I want you to have here, that God can do such a mighty thing with a small start. And it can be in your life and my life where the breath. And I actually wanted you to just capture that image. As the breath of God breathes into us and through us, that there's a release of power that we cannot even understand because it's God. It's not so much us, but it's his power through us. That he can do a mighty, mighty thing. And that's what I'm trusting for, church. I'm trusting that we will understand the ripple effect that God has instituted. And let's just talk about that first ripple this morning, because maybe we need to be reminded that as Jesus came and he paid the price, he died on a cross, he bled and died for our sins, for the world's sins, because God had a plan. He wanted to restore the world to himself, and he's still busy doing that. That message is still going through every church that believes the gospel. And that's what we believe. That's what we want to see touch lives and change, plus How many billions come to Christ because of that ripple, because of what Jesus has done? And that will always be the foundation and the base of any biblical church. But that's what it's about. That's what we're about. And when we remind ourselves where the ripple started, how it's impacted and it touched our lives, that you can be reminded that you were so far and so lost until Christ came in, until the ripple touched you. Think of that moment. Think of the moment the ripple touched you, because that ripple must touch others. When it touches others, and God does it through His Word and His Spirit, but He uses His church. He has used His church from the beginning, and He will continue to use and prepare His bride. And the ripple will continue and continue and continue until He returns. So we need to be prepared for that. And I want to show you a few examples in Scripture just of how and what that means for us. In 1 Kings, I don't know if we can have just the lights on. Sorry, I can't see you, but I don't know if anywhere else can. In 1 Kings 3, I'm going to be reading just this passage and just explain a little bit to you. But this is the story of where, and we even sang it this morning, where King Solomon, all right, in verse 7 it says, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David. But I am a little child who doesn't know his way. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and so numerous they cannot be counted." Man, that must be a big nation. They cannot be counted. "Give me understanding, or an understanding heart, so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong." Your translation might be a little bit different, but I'm reading out of the New Living Translation here. "For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased." Isn't it nice to read that? Wouldn't it be nice to hear that of your life? The Lord is pleased. "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, 'Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have asked not for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me, and if you follow me, and obey my decrees and my commands, as your father David did, I will give you a long life." There's something in this, and the Bible is full of ripple moments, of moments where, and maybe you have come to those times, and I believe even as we go forward in our lives, there's times where big decisions need to be made. Has anyone ever had those? Like, oh, I need to become quiet and I need to hear from God because this matters. It matters because there's a ripple effect that could happen and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what God is saying. So I need to sit up and I need to get right with God and say, "God, lead me. I don't want to do this in my own wisdom. I don't want to do this in my own strength." And what's beautiful here, Solomon was in this place. He'd just been given over this huge responsibility, and he could have easily, out of his own flesh or heart, just said, "This is what I'm going to do, or the plan I'm going to make." But then he asks for wisdom. Beautiful thing here. And God gives him all the other things anyway. And it's something of even that piece of scripture where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added." Are we having that mindset, church? A ripple mindset where what happens is once you make that decision, there's a ripple effect throughout your life. And for Solomon, this was the effect. He chose to ask for wisdom. And the ripple effect, well, we know. You can go read the rest of the story, but you can see just how God honored that. And when we choose to obey and to follow the ways of God, God honors that. He just honors it. You can see it throughout Scripture. Was it easy? No. Is it easy for us to follow God? No. There's challenges. There's very real struggles. If you look at all, I had so many stories that I wanted to share with us this morning. Maybe I'll still share on a few of them. But when we look at the people in the Bible, the Ruths, the Esthers, the Solomons, the Daniels, all of them, they had to go through challenges, but there was ripple effect moments where they chose to not choose the way of the world, but to follow God. And from that moment, God did a mighty thing. He changed nations. He changed the way things are and the way people thought and the way. So it's when we do that. And I think sometimes we read the Bible as if those people are the superheroes. Then we do. We're like, yo, wow, those guys. But actually, all that truth and all that purpose and the spirit that was leading them there is the same spirit of God that's leading us. And God wants to execute exercise a ripple effect through us, through you. And each of our calls may be different, but we are called collectively to follow Christ and to see the fulfillment of what he wants to do in our lives. And we need to keep each other accountable even to what he's calling us to do. You know, when we think about this next story that I'm going to read, it's the last. This is the New Testament now. I read an Old Testament story, now here's a New Testament one. But often, when it comes to us having this moment where we see a significant change, there's often, in the obedience, there's sacrifice. I don't know if you've noticed that in your life, that often when God invites you to something or calls you to something, there's a sacrifice that's required. Is it just me, or can we just nod our heads gently like, sacrifice. Let's talk about it. Let's look at it. It's not always a nice thing, but God calls us to a life of sacrifice. If we model our lives on Christ, his life was poured out. He is the sacrifice. You know the picture of a seed, that when a seed, the only way a seed can grow and multiply is if what happens? If it dies. If it falls to the ground and it dies, then it can germinate. Because the shell needs to break up. It needs to be exposed to the elements of change and struggle and suffering. And then, in that miracle of God, comes out new life and multiplication. That's the only way. In Mark 14, verses 3-9, it says, "Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon." This is just when Jesus was about to be crucified. "They went to Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who was previously had leprosy." That must have been a party, eh? Hey, the guy just got healed from leprosy. We're having a party. Jesus is in town. He's at my house. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar. I think you know the story now. Of expensive perfume made from incense of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume? Why waste it?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her. And these were disciples even. They scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, whenever the good news is preached throughout the world, this story will be told." I don't know what it ends there. This, I think I've lost the slide there. But this testimony will be told. Isn't it amazing that one act that someone could, understanding the heart of God, understanding being led to a place of obedience and sacrifice, could make an impact for history? That even today we're talking about it. That we can read in Scripture that for all of time, whenever the gospel is shared, this lady is mentioned for her great sacrifice, because she has understood the cost. She's understood the price that had to be paid. And often in our lives, I think at times when we are invited to, and I'll call it an invitation, because God never forces us to do anything. Do you know that? He invites us. God invites us to be part of what he's doing. He invites us to sacrifice. He invites us to bring an offering, to bring ourselves and say, here I am. He invited this lady to say, come, take your year's wages. Understand what the gospel has meant for you. Understand what Jesus has done for you. How beautiful it is to be at his feet, to wipe them with your hair. Understand that. And then she came there and she poured it out. And you know what? Those that were even in that moment there seeing this were saying, this is weird, man. This is weird. The world, even other Christians, will criticize your sacrifice. They will say, you have missed it. But if you are walking in obedience with God, who is to challenge that? Who is to say you do not understand? The world will always criticize the things that are foolish, the things that God has called you to. They will always criticize it. The world looks at the church, they laugh at the church, they say, you guys are crazy. What are you doing? But we know we've been called. We belong. We walk in obedience. We don't get drunk on alcohol. We don't do the things of the world because we've been called out. We've been called to a place of surrender. It's not my life, Lord. It's your life. I understand that every decision I make has a ripple effect onto those around me. And when we start to live as the church impacted by the greatest ripple ever, and we have a revelation of that, church, it changes everything going forward. It changes the way we relate, the way we act, the way we behave, the way we give, the way we love. It changes everything. This morning, I want to leave us thinking about what God has called you to. Because each of you have a significant call on your life. As we have been called to be collectively together and have a purpose in this town for this time, do you know that God knew you'd be here today for this time, for this purpose, and that you would hear this message? Just think about that for a moment and allow it to sink in and say, God, I'm not going to leave this venue today thinking, ah, that was for someone else. This is for you, my friends. This is for me. That God wants to do something in our lives. What has he called you to? And how is that going to affect the things around you? Do you know what? When I look at all the stories in the Bible, and I look at all the things that God called people to do, and the sacrifice that they had to make, and the challenge that they went through, the thing that defined them was faithfulness. Was faithfulness. And it's what Jesus hopefully will say to all of us one day when we enter in. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have done what I've asked. Faithfulness. What is God calling you and I to be faithful to be obedient to? And in that process, understanding that there is an impact that is so great if we walk faithfully in that. Day by day, doing the thing he's called you to do. Is it great? Maybe not in your eyes, but maybe God has called you for that. Then you do it faithfully. You do it to the best of your ability because there's a ripple effect. There's something that changes around the atmosphere around us, in our lives, in our families, when there's a ripple effect. Understanding that if I choose to do this today, there's an effect forever. My family, my mom and dad came to Christ in Pretoria, where both their families never knew God. Half of them died of alcoholism poisoning before they even reached 50. My parents met each other at university and they met Christ powerfully and got saved. And to this day, I can tell you now, I am the first generation believer from that family life. And my children will be the second from that. Or they, I guess they're the first, or I'm the second. Whatever. You understand what I mean? They got the ball rolling. And we have to understand that God works through generations. He changes generations. The ripple effect of people coming to know Christ. You might share the gospel with your colleague or friend, and it changes a generation. a generation to a generation? Do we understand that working with the youth can change that child's life? Those parents might be too far gone. I don't know what people are always believing, but we can reach and impact people that will change their future forever. There's an eternal ripple. And we need to see that. We need to see that now matters. It matters eternally. Your faithfulness has an eternal consequence on your life and everyone around you. And that's why it's so important. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have fellowship. It's because we take it seriously. We say, I'm going to walk this thing through with you. And we're going to hold on to each other and walk this challenge together. Because life is difficult. It is challenging. I'm sorry, we're not a church that's going to paint a rosy picture and say, ooh, it's wonderful because God is with us in it. But it's challenging, man. If there's anyone that walks with God and says, I don't understand the full challenge that I've been called to, then you're disillusioned. Being a believer, if you look at all the disciples, once they came to Christ and the ripple had started in their lives, all of them were put to the sword or killed for what they believed. That is the type of persecution they went through to continue the message. We don't have that at this stage in our lives. We might get there, but we just need to have some context. That's the same gospel. It's the same calling. It's the same purpose. There will be sacrifice, but it's glorious because it's for Him, and there's eternal reward. I was thinking about that as I was driving this morning. I wish each one of us could see the eternal reward. If we had a glimpse of the eternal reward, of what that looks like and what it is for you and I think we would live a little differently at times. This morning, I want to close off with us and ask you, what is God's plan? And usually, if you can do it without Him, it's probably not His plan. You need Him. And you need to walk in faithfulness. You need to be faithful to that and trust in Him. Then you can do the thing He's called you to do. I got a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to do something if you know every step of the plan? Of course, you're like, oh, no, I have to do that. That's easy. But we don't know the plan. We don't know the steps. So we have to trust. Is there an area of your life where you are struggling to understand why? Why? Why me, God? Why do I have this struggle? I want to pray for us this morning. I don't think we're going to worship another song. Can we just close our eyes? Father, we just thank You this morning, God, that there is a ripple effect that has been started by Your Son Jesus coming for me. And I'm just reminded of that today, God, that Your ripple effect on the cross where You changed everything for me, for us to belong to You eternally. I'm so thankful for that, God. I'm so thankful that the ripples of history of Your grace touched my life and changed me forever. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, I make it my prayer today that I need You. I need You to do the things that You've called me to do. And I want You and I invite You in to do the work inside me that needs to change in and through me for Your name's sake. I'm sorry where I've tried to do it in my own strength. I'm sorry where I've missed the perspective of seeing that every action I make has a ripple effect to those around me. And I want my life to count and matter for Your glory, the eternal glory that matters. So show me what that is. Show me how You want to use me. And may I be faithful to walk in that. By the power of Your Spirit and led by Your Word, I need Your help, God. In Jesus' name, amen.